Came about a little while ago when Marlo sent out, as he sometimes does, an ECC family email, and it was regarding faith. And so, for whatever reason, I was sitting at my desk at work, and I replied back, and I said, you know, a few words. And so, little did I know that would lead to me being up here in front of all of you this morning to talk about that. So thank you. So let me start by saying I'm going to try and stay on track here this morning. I know we're a little pressed for time. I got some notes. I'm gonna stick with it, and we're gonna do our best here to make sure that I don't keep you too long. So to make sense of what I have to say this morning, I got to tell you a little bit about what I do. So please, none of this is promotional. I got no time for bragging and self-promotion, but I got to put it in context, and you'll see how it all comes together. So I'm blessed to work in the construction industry. And our group of companies is quite large. We're in the top five contractors in Canada. We have thousands of employees. We do over $1 billion in sales every year. And we operate all over North America and in the Caribbean, and now in Africa as well. So my role on our team is Chief Financial Officer. And so in our business, that means I work closely with our CEO and our executive team to take care of the business and financial side of the business. So at 38, I'm extremely blessed through the grace of God to have this position. It's not something that I take lightly. And I truly believe that I can do God's work through my contributions, and I faithfully test my decision to go to work every day. I need to ensure that it's God's will that I'm doing and not my own as I come to work every day and do these things that I do. So I'll talk a little bit more about how important that is later on. So as many of you know, because some of you are involved in our team and know some of the people that work with us, the construction industry isn't for the faint of heart. And especially energy construction, which is the largest part of our business. We have 8 separate divisions in energy construction, meaning like building oil sands plants, oil refineries, all those different things. Is particularly subject to some forces that are largely outside the control of our company. So that's like safety concerns, commodity cycles, economic conditions, cash flows, weather, environmental concerns. All those things are risks that are in our business that we necessarily can't directly control or affect. On top of all that, you got some of the most challenging clients to work with in the world. Many of the people that we work with are larger than countries. The companies themselves are larger than countries. And so their movements, intended or not, on any given day can cause some major distress for a contractor. So lots of risks. Almost everything I deal with is confidential. And some of those challenges obviously are pretty daunting. Sometimes even overwhelming, to be honest. So as a business leader, it's often hard to know what to do, solve problems, manage forward. All the while you're thinking, thousands of families depend on what we decide to do here. What we do has an outcome on all those people, and we have a responsibility to all of them, and our shareholders, and the capital market, and everybody who's lent us money, and all those other things. So present times are really no exception to that. We got low commodity prices. Maybe we got a recession coming in Canada. They seem to argue about that, whether we have one, whether we don't have one, who knows. Times aren't robust in any event, and the U.S. is also experiencing their own economic challenges. We got a changing political landscape, not only here in Alberta, but in Canada. The U.S. election's on. All of those things affect our business and the decisions we make. As the economists put it that we talked to, there's headwinds in the industry. Managing these days, for me personally, is even tougher. We've had a recent tragedy with our CEO, my boss, who's had a very unfortunate family event. He's had to step back. So what does that mean? That means that I need to step in and fill his shoes as well as my job. So I'm filling a dual role right now. The buck stops with me, literally, for our entire company at this moment. And so that's a huge blessing from God, but the responsibility is large. So that's where I'm at. That's what I do. And that's kind of the current set of challenges that I face, business challenges. So let me step back, talk about a little bit about where I came from and how I got here. So I can't stand up and tell you about my childhood, and I can't tell you about my dad, who was terrible and was mean to our family, and my mom. I can't tell you about mental illness or parents that drank too much or anything like that. The truth is, my sisters and I have two sisters. We had an awesome childhood. Awesome. And that was founded in my father's home by strong Christian values, hard work, and a lot of love. I learned so much from my dad as a wise leader, not only in the way that he conducted his business. He was in the fire service as well, still is, for many years, almost 45 years. I watched him as a leader in our home, and in those two circumstances where I had the privilege of working with him, and I learned so much from him. So it's awesome. One of the best blessings I ever received was such a stable home growing up with awesome Christian values. So my walk with God started when I was about 4 or 5. And we used to attend this little two-room church in a town on Vancouver Island called Cobble Hill. And the church was like 100 years old, literally had two rooms, arched windows, white, green trim, nice place. Farming community, everybody logged and went fishing and did some farming and stuff, pretty rural. Anyway, so I'm in Sunday school, and I got a Sunday school teacher. She's a real nice lady. Her name's Jessie Anderson. And she was a dairy farmer. She did it herself. So you can imagine, she had long white hair, and it was pinned back with bobby pins, and she wore a jean skirt that went down to her ankles all the time. And she was huge. And her hands were huge, right? And they were rough. When she touched you, you could feel that she'd been working, right? Really nice lady. Anyway, so I'm just a little guy, 4 or 5. And so she made the depths of hell for me palpable. I could feel that, right? And so I didn't become a Christian to try and come to Jesus. I became a Christian to escape the devil. It was real, right? So I'm 4 or 5. So anyway, so at that point in my life, even then, God had blessed me with some understanding about business for whatever way. And so I thought, well, I kind of struck a deal here. This is probably not that bad. I can do this. So if I can be a good Christian, follow all the rules, then God's going to live up to his end and I get everlasting life. Decent deal. No devil, everything's cool, right? So I go forward, and I realize I can't hold up my end here. This deal doesn't work. Chuck can't follow all the rules all the time. And so what happens then? You get guilty. That frustration sets in, and you think, well, geez, I made a stupid deal there. I can't hold this up. I can't do this. So I'm not going to try anymore. I'm going to let that one go. And I know Jesus exists, I know God's up there, and I love him, I believe in him. I learned all this stuff in Sunday school, but I can't make it work, so I don't know what I'm going to do. So I was wrong, really wrong. I never picked up on what I was supposed to there. So, you know, anyway, God never gave up on me. So as a young adult, I was kind of angry and trying to follow these rules and so on. I pulled away from the church, stopped going to church. You know, my parents were always there. They were good Christian people, but they knew they needed to give me some time, and so that's what happened. So through that period, as I said, Jesus never left me, and honestly, after all that happened to me in there, it's amazing that I've even alive to come and stand before you and talk to you. Anyway, from a young age, as I said, I was fascinated with business and finance, and I decided that I wanted to be rich. Really, really rich. And so that was my driver, okay? And so I was determined to do whatever I needed to do to be successful in business. And that was my start. So I worked full-time. I wanted to, at some point in high school, I took a couple accounting courses, and the guy says to me, you know, the accountants have all the power. You know, they know where everything is, and they watch all the money and all that. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. So off I go. As usual, I did things in my own way, so I started my career and went to school at the same time. And so I worked full-time in a public accounting firm, and I got a whole bunch of business education along the way from colleges and universities and so on. God continued to bless me through my time in there. I was able to complete my education, and I rose quickly in public practice to take care of the best and the biggest clients. Thank God he was still walking with me, even though I wasn't walking with him, at least not consciously anyway. So 11 years ago, I came back to Alberta, started working for a company called JV Driver, who was one of my clients. It was one of those best and biggest clients. They were growing. Everything was cool. I was here 18 months later. I'm named a CFO, and I'm 31 years old. Not bad. So my hard work and intense focus, the money, all the drive towards the wealth and success seemed to be working. The problem was, I was angry. I had lots of resent. I was unhappy, really. But, you know, all of that was probably not that bad of a trade-off because I was getting ahead. The career was going good. I mean, it's okay. I had a wife, and God had blessed us with two children, which is a miracle in and of itself. If you ever want to hear that story, I can tell you that too. God's work is in my life is just awesome. So anyway, so there I am. I'm kind of angry, and things get tougher. Career gets demanding. Family starts to grow up. My responsibilities get deeper. I start to lose it. I'm mad, like really mad, all the time, and it bubbles up, and, you know, what do I do with this, right? Got trouble controlling it. So people kind of give me the feedback that sometimes, you know, even though I'm an accountant, I'm a little bit scary, and so as the rage bubbles up, that gets worse, and it affects me, and the people that I love, the people that I work with, everybody around me. So then, as anger took hold, so does some worry. The feelings of darkness start to come in. Things get more complicated. Business keeps going. My role grows and grows. And those business risks that I talked about earlier started to consume me. It started to always be there like a suit of clothes. You put it on and it's very dark and, oh man, you gotta go into work and it gets heavier and heavier, and sometimes it's hard to understand what to do. So really, the career that I wanted so bad was causing me to fail. God had blessed me with it, but I didn't know how to handle it. I needed help. Jesus was still there. He never gave up on me. All that walk that I took away from him, all that silly notion that I had of making a deal, that didn't bother us. Didn't bother him. He was still there with me. So I needed help. I couldn't make the link between what I did in business and what was consuming me like that suit of clothes, and what he had taught me and what I had learned. So again, I was misguided. In many ways, the deal that I thought I made early on in life about following rules and everlasting life and all that stuff was hanging over me and said, "Well, you can't talk to God about those silly things. You haven't been a good Christian. You know, you're not holding up your end of the deal, so why what gives you the right to talk to Jesus and ask for some answers? It just isn't going to work." So I told myself a bunch of things along the way that were kind of silly, right? I said, you know, after all, the Bible, it's not a business book. Jesus isn't a business partner. He's not going to tell you what to do. You don't work in a Christian organization. How can you do God's work if you're not in a Christian organization? He's not going to help you do that, you silly. You shouldn't have focused on all that wealth and all that other stuff. Now look at the spot you're in. You know, what are you going to do, right? So I went through this, and I remember that I felt, you know, really like there wasn't a lot of places to turn. And I was wrong. And through those struggles, Jesus revealed himself to me. And I remember it was kind of the worst period of the economic crisis in our business, and I'm kind of driving to work one day and thinking about the problems that are at hand or whatever, and I said, you know, Jesus, what should I do? You want me to go to work today, or is there something else I should do here? Because I don't feel very good. I need some help. What should I do? What was his will for me? The answer was clear then, and it remains clear today. Jesus told me and helped me to realize, as I continued to keep that open line of communication, talking with him all the time, he pointed out to me that I'd been blessed with what I wanted to achieve in business and in my career. And in so doing, I could provide not only for my family, but I could provide for many others as well by moving this organization forward. And he showed me that by touching others and providing for people and moving it forward, there is a way to do his will. There is a way to carry out what he would like me to do on a day-to-day basis. And really, it's about his glory in doing that, whatever I'm tasked with. Not about my own success or my own chasing silly wealth or meaningless things here in this world. And so that was an awesome realization. So once I could leave those defeating desires behind about personal success and chasing the wrong things in life, I was free. I felt a lot better. A bunch of that weight had been lifted off me. Those concerns and those worries were still there, but I knew that I could talk to God about just about anything. Anything. And that silly deal and all those things that I thought kept me from God really weren't real. And so through that time, God really showed me two verses that were very meaningful for me. The first of which is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. So I thought about that. I read it, I thought about it. And so obviously, what it says is very meaningful. Many of us know that verse by heart. But I think what I was struck with most about is what it didn't say. There's no qualifier there, and I realize that. It doesn't say trust in the Lord with all your heart for all your personal problems. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that if you don't think you work in a Christian organization, you can't come to God and talk about what's going on. It doesn't say any of that. It just says simply, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And so for me, that meant all that self-reliance, all that self-talk, God helps those who help themselves, and all those things that are not true, that used to be in my head, weren't right. I could bring anything to God, anything in business, anything personal, doesn't matter, no limitations, no boundaries. Very liberating, awesome thinking that God gave me, not my own. God gave me that. So chapter 3 in Proverbs is awesome. I read it all the time. It goes on to talk about seeking wisdom and how wisdom can be provided if you faithfully seek it, and you can use that to carry out God's works in everything you do. And to me, again, that was a very key realization. So studied more and more about wisdom and really tried to hone my skills on letting go. Letting go of that self-reliance, letting go of that self-talk that said, I got to have all the answers and there's barriers with God and what I can do. None of that was right. And really seeking the wisdom that he's got for me and whatever his plan is the point. That's the point. So that brings me to the second really, really meaningful passage in the Bible as I think about where I'm at and what's where I've come from. And that's in the book of James. That's verse 2 to 5, and I'll just read it quick. Count and joy, all my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know what the testing of your faith produces: steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wow. Wow. So what does that mean? I mean, how does that apply to my situation? Obviously, all those things that come at me as trials in life, in business, in personal, trying to make it all work, all those trials aren't really what matters. It's an opportunity to hone my faith, to condition myself through training in response to those situations, to trust in God, to ask him, hey, what should I do? I don't know what to do here. Can you give me a hand here? Can you help me with some wisdom? Can you help me and make the path straight? And he'll do it. All I got to do is ask him consistently. And so again, real paradigm shift for me. When the worry and the darkness of all the business challenges and whatever I was dealing with set in, I knew exactly what I could do. And I had a training regime for my faith that I could get on every single day. It was awesome in its simplicity, but hard to implement because of the discipline that it takes. Continuously conditioning yourself to make your first response in the face of adversity to ask God what to do. So, another way to look at that, I like to work out. I think most of you know that. I go to the gym a lot, work with a trainer, strict, disciplined. I really enjoy it, and it helps me stay on track many other areas of my life. I liken what I read in James there to the same type of conditioning, only it's for my faith. And so just like I've got a workout that I do physically for my body to achieve whatever those goals are, I try to focus, and what this taught me is to try and focus, to use those trials and those periods of adversity and indecision as workout periods for my faith. And really condition myself and test myself to seek God and truly understand, what's your will for me in this situation? And as I did that, that darkness and those worries and those concerns, they actually turned a little bit. And joy started to creep in. And I started to think, well, okay, life is going to give me challenges all the time. Those are really those training opportunities so that I can watch God work, so that I can understand and surrender to Him and be part of carrying out His work. If they didn't exist, I wouldn't have the opportunity to do those things. And so that actually brings with it some happiness and some joy. Certainly not everything's pleasant that you got to deal with. And in particular, as I mentioned in my set of challenges related to business, those things are pretty tough sometimes. But it certainly allows you to skirt all that darkness if you can look at those as those opportunities for surrender. So that was awesome. So understanding these simple truths changed my life, changed my family, changed my career. And I know that if I can stay vigilant in that, I've got a constant partner in business and in life and whatever God leads me to. The key is, every morning, ask Him, Lord, what can I do today? Can you guide me? Can you help me? Whatever challenges are coming at me. You pick up the phone, somebody gives you some bad news. What do? Fall to pieces? No. You say, Jesus, what should we do here? How can I do your work? Could you help me with some wisdom? And conditioning myself to stay vigilant on that has absolutely been just awesome and just such a great blessing from God to understand that. So let me qualify it. I'm a confirmed sinner. I'm no genius by any measure. There's no lock on wisdom that Chuck Sanders has. That's not at all my message. I'm just an ordinary guy trying to get through my day to day. And everyone here has challenges and so on. My hope in sharing the challenges that I have, my response to them is that maybe there's some kernels of truth, or maybe some of you might be able to take something out of my story there. But I'm still day to day, and I'm still learning on all of this stuff. It's just some realizations that God has revealed to me. So back to the business at hand. I talked about those headwinds. I talked about my expanding role and some of the uncertainty that might be there in business, which are sometimes pretty challenging. So what do I do as a leader? All those people are looking at me, and I got to think about what to do, and all the other guys, the executive team, we're all there. What do we do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to crumble. I'm not going to let fear consume me, and I'm not going to become ineffective. I'm going to turn to Jesus. I'm going to say, how do I handle this stuff? Can we work on this today? It's Monday. Can you show me what to do? We'll work on it together, and then Tuesday will come. And Jesus, I'll ask for your help again. And I'm going to do that over and over again as we move forward through whatever challenges we got. And so as I do that, it occurs to me, it just feels so good. And it feels so much better than where I was. So in closing, I've, again, got the ultimate leadership coach. I've got the ultimate business partner. I got Jesus on my side. The guys around me, they may or may not be in their own walk of faith. I can influence that, but I can't control that. The organization I work for might have lots of things that are on the horizon, and it may or may not be branded as Christian or not Christian. Again, I can only influence that through my actions. But what I do know is that inside my heart and the way that I'm going to deal with those things is to seek the counsel of my business partner and my leadership coach, and that's Jesus. And I'm going to do that as frequently as I need to do it. So thanks. Thanks for listening to the Harley riding accountant here this morning. I hope if there's anything that's meaningful that you took away, that you come talk to me about it if you want. I feel real strongly about these things, and obviously it's really affected my life. And if I can help any of you by passing on, you know, a little bit more of my story or anything like that, I'm happy to do that. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Chuck.